Welcome to Agen Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories and conversations from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. It is great to be here with you all. Today we are covering the top trending stories from yesterday, March 14th, 2026. And wow, we have made it to episode number 335.
We really have. And we have a fantastic lineup today. We're looking at a fascinating satirical protest project called Ageless Linux, some major news out of Europe regarding age ratings for video games with loot boxes, and a sobering MIT piece on what happens when U.S. economic data becomes unreliable.
Plus, we will be talking about Montana's controversial new Right to Compute Act. And finally, a story that perfectly captures the current state of PC building. RAM kits are now being sold with one real stick and one fake stick just to make your motherboard look pretty.
Let us start with Ageless Linux. This was the top story yesterday, and it is a brilliant piece of malicious compliance. The website is for an operating system called Ageless Linux, which describes itself as software for humans of indeterminate age.
Right, and to understand the joke here, you have to look at the context. California recently passed the Digital Age Assurance Act, AB 1043, which requires operating system providers to verify their age of their users. The law is incredibly broad. It defines an operating system provider as anyone who controls the OS software on a general-purpose computing device.
So the creator of Ageless Linux built a simple bash script. You install Debian, which is a standard open-source Linux distribution, and then you run the script. All it does is change your system files so your computer identifies itself as running Ageless Linux, and it installs a fake age verification API that intentionally returns zero data. By running it, you become the operating system provider, and you are immediately in intentional non-compliance with California law.
The commentary on the website is just razor sharp. They point out the quiet part out loud, which is that laws like this are essentially a compliance moat for big tech. Apple, Google, and Microsoft already have centralized accounts, app stores, and family safety features built in. It costs them nothing to comply. But a volunteer organization like the Debian Project, or a teenager maintaining a hobby Linux distro in their bedroom, they cannot possibly afford to build an age-gating infrastructure or risk the $7,500 fine per affected child.
Exactly. The Hacker News comments were incredibly active on this one. A user named Nextos pointed out how unsettling it is that this age verification debate has popped up almost simultaneously in the US, the UK, and the EU. They suggested it shows how transnational lobbying works.
Yeah, that sparked a huge debate. Some people thought it was a coordinated conspiracy by an elite cabal, but others, like user Rory Lawless, offered a simpler explanation. We just live in a highly connected world. Politicians and campaigners see a policy idea gaining traction in one country and immediately copy it. Another user compared it to modern architecture, how buildings look the same worldwide now because every architect is reading the same magazines.
There was also a really poignant comment from a user named EKJHGK, EKJHGK, who pushed back on the idea that parental controls are a solved problem. They pointed out that in the UK, schools are forcing primary school children to use iPads for reading and handwriting. The parents might do everything right at home, but the schools are exposing kids to YouTube and distractions anyway. It really highlights how messy the intersection of technology, parenting, and regulation has become.
Speaking of regulating technology for kids, our next story is right in that same vein. Over in Europe, PEGI, which is the Pan-European Game Information Body, is making a massive change. Starting in June, any game that includes paid random items, which we all know as loot boxes, will automatically receive a minimum age rating of 16.
This is a huge shift. Games like EA Sports FC, which are massively popular with kids, could suddenly be slapped with a PEGI 16 or even a PEGI 18 rating. The article notes that research increasingly shows loot boxes blur the line between gaming and gambling.
The Hacker News community was overwhelmingly in favor of this, but many felt it did not go far enough. A user named Hoffrogs argued that chance-based systems involving real money should just be banned completely because they exploit vulnerabilities in the human brain for profit.
What I found really interesting in the comments was the discussion about digital versus physical gambling. Someone asked if there was a fundamental difference between buying a digital loot box and buying a physical lottery ticket or playing blackjack.
And the consensus was yes, absolutely. A user named Fury of Antares referenced an article by Zvi Moshowitz about how legalizing online sports betting has been a societal disaster. The argument is that physical gambling requires you to go somewhere. There is friction. But when the casino is in your pocket, it is guaranteed to be available at the exact moment you are most vulnerable.
That is such a good point. Another user mentioned how digital gambling apps often have convenient bugs when you try to self-exclude or close your account, whereas a physical casino has to actually kick you out if you are on a banned list. It will be interesting to see if these new PEGI ratings actually deter parents from buying these games for their kids, or if they just ignore the 16 label like they often do with mature ratings.
Moving from video game data to real-world data, our third story is a piece from MIT Sloan titled "What Happens When U.S. Economic Data Becomes Unreliable?" This one is a bit heavier, but incredibly important for anyone working in tech or finance.
The article outlines three major threats to the integrity of U.S. statistical data. First, declining survey response rates. People just do not answer their phones or fill out government surveys anymore, which introduces bias. Second, funding constraints. Agencies like the Bureau of Labor Statistics are facing shrinking budgets. The USDA even had to halt its annual survey on food insecurity because it was too costly.
And the third threat is political interference. We are seeing more attacks on the routine revisions that statistical agencies make. The authors point out that revising data isn't a sign of failure. It is a hallmark of a healthy system adapting to better information. But when the public and investors lose trust in this data, the consequences are severe.
The Hacker News comments took this topic in a very specific and somewhat dark direction. A lot of users tied this degradation of public data to the growing wealth gap. User Mark L. Watson commented that the wealthiest people are in a mode of grabbing what they can, while the grabbing is still good, preparing for an eventual collapse.
Yeah, user Cooley chimed in and mentioned how the super rich have been in prepper mode for a long time. They referenced a famous Guardian article about billionaires building underground bunkers in New Zealand and hiring security forces, obsessing over how to maintain authority over their guards after what they call the event.
It is a wild mental image. Another user, Actionable Fiber, had a fascinating pet theory. They suggested that the uncontrolled concentration of wealth, combined with algorithmic content feeds, has put the super rich into a post-game mentality. They have every material comfort, so they are just disconnected from reality.
It definitely feels a bit dystopian, but as someone else pointed out, prepping is actually way more common among the middle and lower classes. The billionaire bunker stories just make for better headlines. Still, the underlying anxiety about the reliability of our institutions and our data is clearly resonating with the Hacker News crowd.
That brings us perfectly to our next story, which is also about institutions and tech policy, but at the state level. Montana just passed the Right to Compute Act of 2025. The governor signed it last Thursday, and it is being heavily promoted as a groundbreaking law to protect citizens' rights to own and use computational and artificial intelligence tools.
On the surface, the framing is very libertarian. The bill's sponsors say it protects freedom and restrains the government from cracking down on modern technologies. It sets strict limits on governmental regulation of computing. But when you look at the actual text, and especially when you read the Hacker News comments, a very different picture emerges.
Exactly. Hacker News users are incredibly sharp when it comes to reading between the lines of tech legislation. The bill includes mandatory safety protocols for AI-controlled critical infrastructure, including a shutdown mechanism and compulsory annual risk management reviews.
User Gwerbin nailed it. They translated the bill as saying, industry can do whatever we want, but the government also has to put up barriers to entry that favor large incumbents. Annual risk management reviews sound great, but they require massive compliance teams. A startup cannot afford that, but Microsoft or Google certainly can. It is regulatory capture disguised as a digital rights bill.
Another huge angle here is data centers. The Frontier Institute, which backed the bill, explicitly stated this will help position Montana as a world-class destination for data center investment.
Right. User Noah B. pointed out that this law essentially preempts local NIMBY opposition. If a community tries to block a massive new AI data center because they are worried about water usage, power grid strain, or noise, this state law can be used to override them. It is framed as the right to compute, but it is really the right for massive tech companies to build data centers wherever they want.
It is a classic case of a bill's name meaning the exact opposite of what it does. User Jay Fangle made a hilarious comparison.
They said if they see a piece of legislation called the Puppies and Orphans Protection Act, they immediately assume its purpose is to use puppies to strangle orphans. That is the level of cynicism we are at with tech lobbying right now.
It is hard to argue with that logic these days. Well, let us wrap up today's show with something a bit more lighthearted, though it does stem from a real problem in the industry. According to Tom's Hardware, RAM kits are now being sold with one fake RAM stick alongside a real one.
This is so funny and sad at the same time. Because of the massive AI boom, there is a severe global memory shortage. High-end DDR5 RAM kits are skyrocketing in price. Some 32-gigabyte kits are completely wiped out, and others are listed for absurd prices on Newegg.
So a company called VColor has introduced these 1+1 value packs. You get one actual functional stick of DDR5 memory and one filler module. The filler module does absolutely nothing for your computer's performance. It is just a piece of plastic with RGB lighting on it. The whole point is so that your motherboard does not have an empty slot and you can maintain the illusion of a dual module setup.
The article calls it desperate psychological relief, which is just poetry. The Hacker News comments on this were peak old man yells at cloud. User Skibs said they missed the days when most people had vanilla-looking computers, like an old beige Packard Bell tower. They complained that RGB lighting by default looks gauche.
I have to agree with them. User Mort96 pointed out how frustrating it is that you cannot even avoid it anymore. They said they have zero interest in RGB, but they ended up with an RGB mouse, RGB RAM, and an RGB graphics card just because those were the best performance options available. You literally have to buy worse components if you want to avoid the stupid little lights.
And the worst part, as user ReturnerThrow pointed out, is the software. They complained that they had to download 3 separate bloated Electron apps just to turn off the RGB lights on their motherboard, RAM, and GPU. It is 2026, and we still do not have a common protocol to just turn the lights off.
It really shows how PC building has changed. It used to be about making the machine quiet and hiding it under your desk. Now, as user Curing Light noted, PCs have become status items and decorative light boxes, largely driven by streaming culture. You want it to look good on camera, even if half the RAM inside it is completely fake.
Fake RAM for real aesthetics. That feels like a very fitting metaphor for where tech is at right now.
It really does. Well, that is all the time we have for today. From satirical operating systems to fake glowing memory sticks, it has been a wild day in the tech world.
Thank you all so much for listening to episode 335 of HN Pod. If you enjoyed the conversation, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review. We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories from Hacker News. Have a great day, everyone.